Larry Gossett was greatly admired and greatly loved. It's important for all of us that we take time to acknowledge the impact that he had on those who were part of his life. We are here both to mourn and to celebrate, to laugh and to cry. How do you deal with such seemingly contradictory emotions at the same time? On the one hand, there are the emotions of sadness. And even though Larry no longer has to endure any more suffering, the sting of death is still very real. We can't pretend that it doesn't hurt to lose someone you love. But on the other hand, there's great joy knowing that because of the relationship that Larry enjoyed with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is now in his presence. For the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For the Christian, there is no greater joy than to be in the presence of the one who loves you like no one else can. So while today is a day of mourning, it is also a day of celebration. Today we come to remember the life of Larry Gossett and to reminisce over all the special moments that we had with him. This is why we have funerals, to help us remember those special moments. We also need this time to help us navigate our way through the choppy seas of up and down emotions. And through it all, we seek the peace that comes from resting in the assurance that Larry is now with the Lord. Let us go to the Word of God for comfort and perspective. From Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Let us pray. Our Father, we come into your presence this morning to acknowledge that you are with us and to give honor to Larry Gossett. For those family and friends who are gathered here this morning to pay respects and to gain comfort and hope and perspective from you, we ask that you will open our hearts to receive your message for us this day. Will you bring your Holy Spirit, your great comforter, to this family? May they lean upon you and find strength and hope, encouragement in you. And we ask that not only the memories of Larry, would they bring consolation, but we ask in particular that your word will bring the ultimate hope. We thank you that you have sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the means by which our sins are forgiven and to give us the hope that the day is coming when you too will depart from heaven and descend with a shout and with the trump of God, and we will forever be with you. Thank you for the assurance of your second coming. Thank you for the reality of your first coming. We thank you for the reality that those who are in you need never fear, for you will bring to us the consummation of all things. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
I will sing of God's mercy every day, every hour. He gives me power. I will sing and give thanks to thee for all the dangers. nature's toils and snares that he has brought me out. He is my God, and I'll serve him. No matter what the test, trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. He never failed me yet. I will sing of God's mercy. Every day, every hour, he gives me power. I will sing and give thanks to thee for all the dangers, toils, and snares that he has brought me out. He is my God, and I'll serve him. No matter what the test, trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. He never failed me yet. I know God is able to deliver in time of storm. And I know that he'll keep you safe from all earthly harm. Surely bring you out. He never failed me yet. I will sing of God's mercy. Every day, every hour, he gives me power. I will sing and give thanks to thee for all the dangers, toils, and snares that he has brought me out. He is my God, and I'll serve him. No matter what the test, trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. He never failed me yet. He never failed me. He never failed me yet. He never failed me. He never failed me yet. He never failed me, he never failed me yet. Trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. He never failed me yet.
Thank you, ladies, for singing Larry's favorite song. At least I think it was his favorite song. Death and funeral services like this one serve some very important purposes. First of all, this service will help us remember Larry. His life made a mark on ours, and we want to acknowledge that. Second, this service will force us to come face to face with our own mortality. We're all going to die someday. And so it's a great time to ask some tough questions. Questions like, am I ready to die? And where will I go when my life is over? When it comes right down to it, this service is more for us who are living than for the one who has died. And then there's a third purpose for this service. It will help us come to terms with God. So let's begin by remembering some of the things that endeared Larry to us. Larry's sister, Kay, has written some remarks that she'd like for me to read at this time. Larry, as we say our final goodbye to you here on earth, we will see you again one day. As it has been said, our last breath here on earth is our first in heaven. I have lots of memories to sustain me till that time. I remember the times growing up and always playing together, especially cowboys and Indians, and how it was with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. The neighbor boy always came over to play, and he was Roy Rogers. I was Dale Evans, and you were the sidekick. I remember you asking one day, why can't I be Roy? Then Richard told me at the time you put a BB in Robert's BB gun, and Robert didn't know it and shot a hole in the window at Dad's business. That ended the BB gun. I remember the time we were working on our bikes and you put the ball bearing in your ear. I remember the neighbor boy hitting you with a hatchet and Mom took it and hit it, and that almost started World War III. Playing ball in the vacant lot next door to our house is also a fond memory, as was playing hide and seek at dark. Remember the paper route we also had, getting up early on Sunday to get the papers delivered so we could get back home and go to Sunday school and church. Remember how we used to play cards in the middle of the bed, the game called Snap. How I prayed for you to become a Christian and turn your life around, and God answered that prayer. I guess I didn't realize how much you changed until visitation last night, and the people that thought so much of you and praised you coming to church, no matter how bad you may have felt. We will miss you, and will always live on in our hearts and the memories that we have. You know, there's a lot of memories that come to mind when we think about Larry. You know, you never really had to worry about what Larry thought. He'd always tell you. He didn't believe in keeping opinions to himself. Now, Larry was upfront about everything. Well, not quite everything. He didn't want people to know just how sick he was, because then you might feel sorry for him. And he didn't want that. He just wanted to live a normal life. He pursued his life with passion. Now, Larry was a guy who was driven, and in more than one way. Of course, he was driven to taste satisfaction. But Larry was also driven around in sporty red cars. There's that little Volkswagen convertible that served that purpose. Then a few years ago, after mentioning an episode in my life when I turned down an opportunity to ride around in a 58 red Corvette convertible, and how I had never even got close enough to a red Corvette since that time, somehow or another, Larry and Sandy managed to mention that to a friend who just happened to have a nice shiny red Corvette. And so one day they pulled up in my driveway and we went for a ride all the way through these little country roads. I'll not tell you how fast I drove the car. There may be law enforcement officers here who do not think the law of, or the statute of limitations has yet expired. But we had a good time. It was an enjoyable moment. You know, Larry loved life. And in spite of the restrictions placed on him by his many health issues, Larry relished life like a kid at Christmas. You know, Larry reminds me of George Bailey, you know, the character that Jimmy Stewart played in It's a Wonderful Life. So what if life posed some problems, even serious ones? It was life, and Larry drank it in. He also ate it up. Larry's restrictive diet prevented him from enjoying everything he might have had a craving for, but there were still some foods he simply felt were heaven to enjoy, like a good steak or coconut shrimp, or recently crab legs from Joe's Crab Shack. And then there was golf. Larry didn't just enjoy golf. He took pure delight in it. There was one moment Sandy was relating when she had a convention, I think, in Las Vegas, and so Larry went with her. Of course, he took his golf clubs and didn't have any way to get to the golf course, but being the resourceful guy he was, he called a cab. The cab took him to the golf course, and I understand the cab fare may have cost more than the greens fee, but he really enjoyed the round of golf. If Larry couldn't play his favorite game, he enjoyed watching his favorite teams play their favorite games. If you knew Larry very well, you knew that he was a passionate U of I fan and a rabid Cardinals fan. And when given the chance to watch his teams play from the vantage point of a box seat or a reserve seat, Larry would jump at the chance. But there was one seat reserved for Larry that he never missed, unless He was in the hospital. This seat right over here. Larry loved church. It provided for him, as the old song says, a foretaste of glory divine. And now that glory is not just a foretaste. Larry is now enjoying the glory of God in its fullness. Larry's days on this earth have come to an end, and we cherish the days that we had with him. We all knew his days were numbered, but it's not just Larry's days that were numbered. That's true for all of us. We must all deal with the reality that our days are limited. We're not just facing Larry's mortality, we're facing our own. The psalmist admonishes us, teach us to number our days. In other words, make your life count. So Nike commercial caption goes like this: life is short, just do it. So the question is then, what is it? If it is just bouncing around in new tennis shoes, that doesn't sound like very much, does it? Well, the psalm could have a caption that reads something like Nike's, but it might say, life is short, do it right. Sometimes we live as though life in this world is all there is. But as we grow older, or when someone we are close to dies, we look at life with a different perspective. As someone once said, the hope of dying is the only thing that keeps me alive. We need this perspective on life and death. Otherwise, we might just merely exist and not truly live. You don't know how many days you have remaining. Make them count. Live with the conscious reality that your days are numbered. The time is coming when you too will pass away from this life and come face to face with God. Live in such a way that the thought of this reality brings hope and not dread. We're dealing with some difficult issues here, aren't we? We're saying goodbye to Larry, and that's hard to do. We're realizing that we too will experience death, and that's hard to do. But we need to be prepared when the time comes. And these are things that we do at funerals. And this leads me to bring to your attention something else we need to do while we have the opportunity. So we need to come to terms with God. People of every age must come to terms with God. Who is God? What is he like? A.W. Tozer once said that what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So what comes to mind when you think about God? Maybe you're a little disillusioned with God. After all, why would God allow someone like Larry to suffer as he did? When I think of Larry, I can't help but think of a particular character in the Bible, Job. Both of them were well acquainted with suffering, and both of them were able to come to terms with God. And we too must come to terms with the God of the Bible. This is something that Larry did, and it's something that we all need to do. So let me spell out the terms that we need to come to God. First of all, we answer to God. God does not answer to us. You know, God had a plan for Job, but he didn't come to him and say, hey, Job, I've got a plan for your life. It involves some suffering, yeah, but, well, actually a lot of it. You'll go through some terrible times, but in the end, you will be immensely blessed. You want to go through this? God didn't bring that choice or that option before Job. Neither did he explain to him what all was going to be happening as it was going on. Job didn't have the advantage of knowing that, well, in the end, we know it's going to be better than it ever was before. So God didn't offer Job a choice. He didn't offer an explanation. You know, God didn't offer Larry a choice or an explanation either. Matter of fact, he doesn't offer that to any of us. When you know that God is in charge, though, there is a sense of security, a sense of destiny, a sense that because God is in control, we can feel secure in him. And you can be sure of this, that God is in control. He is in charge. He has a plan for your life. and you can be sure that he will bring that plan to fruition. Sometimes it might seem that God has forgotten you, or that he is disorganized, or that he's powerless to do anything about your situation. And there were times that we all wondered how Larry could keep going. How could he continue to live when he had so many health problems? Maybe it was Larry's intense desire to live. Some of us have wondered if Larry was just too stubborn to die. But behind these possible reasons is the ultimate reason. God had work to do in Larry's life. And it may be that God wasn't working on just Larry. He might be using Larry's suffering to say something to you. Rest in confidence, knowing that God has a plan, whether you understand it or not, whether you like it or not, or whether you would have chosen it or not. There's nothing that anyone can do to throw God's plans off track. He will accomplish his plan in your life. But coming to terms with God means you understand that you answer to him, that he does not answer to you. But coming to terms with God means something else. It means that God brings redemption through suffering. We see this illustrated in the life of Job, and we see it in the life of Larry Gossett. You know, God sent Job through some terrible suffering. In no time at all, Job lost his wealth, his sons and his daughters, and the support of his wife. Now, Larry never suffered to that degree. In fact, no one could have been a more faithful or more supportive wife to Larry than Sandy has been. Suppose just for a moment that Job never endured any suffering. He might have been satisfied with that scenario, but what impact would his life have had apart from his suffering? Now, suppose Larry never had to endure any suffering. He might have been satisfied with a relatively pain-free, carefree, successful life, the kind of life that I suppose all of us would choose if given the option. But would Larry have enjoyed a deeper, more intimate relationship with God apart from suffering? Would he have truly known Jesus as deeply as he came to know him apart from his suffering? Well, both Job and Larry endured some suffering, and they both point us to the one who endured suffering at the ultimate level. That leads me to ask this question. What if Jesus decided that he did not want to endure any suffering? What if he decided that he would not accept the role of the suffering servant? Well, you and I would never find the hope and the comfort that we need in moments like these. The realization that death is not the final word. But because Jesus suffered the penalty of sin, we have access to God, the author of life. God brings redemption through suffering, and not your suffering, his suffering. When you come to terms with God, you come on the basis of his suffering, not on your worthiness as a good person. No one qualifies on that basis. Christ and Christ alone can satisfy God's terms. Christ and Christ alone can redeem us from the bondage of sin. We are saved by grace alone through Christ alone. Those are the terms, and Larry accepted those terms. And for this reason and this reason alone, Larry is a forgiven man. For this reason and for this reason alone, Larry Gossett has found eternal life. For this reason and this reason alone, Larry will enjoy the scene described in Revelation 21. As the Apostle John reports saying, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. Larry has received this great gift without payment. And you can too, if you come to terms with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we give thanks to you for the life of Larry Gossett. We thank you for the way that you have touched our lives through him. We're especially grateful for the way that you have illustrated redemption through suffering in his life. It brings us inspiration to know that there is one among us who relished and cherished life so longingly. And we're grateful that there's something beyond this life. Though the pleasures are satisfying to a degree, we know that ultimately in this life, in this earthly body, we cannot be truly at rest. We cannot be truly satisfied. But in you, we do find that satisfaction that can never be taken away. We look forward to that time when we will be reunited with you, with all who have gone before us, but especially to know that we will stand face to face with our Maker and with our Redeemer, knowing that you love us and that you have prepared for us a life beyond what we can think or imagine. Sustain us with these thoughts, with these hopes, with these truths. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the God who changes not, who has no shadow of turning, and whose compassions fail not, preserve you by his loving kindness, so that you might know great are his faithful acts. They are new every morning. Amen. ¶¶